Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Fighting Words on the Fighting Words News Network. Fighting Words is brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please take the time to acknowledge them. These are very, very tough times. In the last year, we've lost 1,770 police officers in the line of duty. Tonight's program is dedicated to Chief John Newhouse, the Sheriff John Newhouse, Nassau County Sheriff's Department, and to the family of Corey Moyer, who was buried today. Deputy Moyer was killed in the line of duty 4 hours after he and his fiancée. I picked up the final trappings for today's wedding. So to their family, we send out the greatest appreciation we could ever send and our greatest sympathies. Guys, it's been a terrific week. Bob, you had some really good fights. You want to start with Alexander Bonesky?
UFC 266 main card was amazingly packed. The main event was Alexander Volkoysky against Brian Ortega. Now, that turned out we thought Ortega came out on fire. He's a beast. He's known to knock people out in these flashy sessions. But Alexander Volkoysky proved why he's the title holder and dominated at the end. Ended up getting the decision of Brian Ortega, but going all five rounds. A fantastic fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, he came out punching from the very first sound of the bell. I mean, he was at there right out in the center, and one right after Ortega.
The whole, now that actual fight, I had to leave and go to work before I got to see that one, but I saw every other fight on the main card, and it was, the whole card was a slugfest. It was fantastic. Going main event, Valentina Shevchenko versus Lauren Murphy. Amazing. So just again, I think it's your sixth title defense. Just dominated Lauren Murphy. Murphy's got the only, chance of even, coming close to Shevchenko. We were talking 2 weeks back, tie and stuff. We were talking to good fighters, great fighters, one of those great fighters. There's just too much distance between her and the second ranked person in her division. So it could be tough getting her opponents.
Yeah, she's still fighting at 154, right?
Yeah, fighting recently, like also on the card was Jessica Andrade, who they fought together on 261. And the thing is with these girls, they're like anybody, they're going after the GOAT, and so they're changing weight division and trying to go up and do that kind of stuff. Now, Andrade, she completely dominated her fight, against Diaz-Castillo. But, when she tried to go up weight to fight Shevchenko just, checked her and threw her back down to her weight division. So, but again, dominant force of her own weight.
There was like you said, that card was pretty well stacked. Do you have anything else on that one?
Oh yeah. So again, not to leave out the heavyweights, Curtis Blaydes versus Rosenstruik. That was a slugfest, going all three rounds to decision. Now again, I would have liked to see more action from them. They're both playing that, oh, I respect the guy's power. As a heavyweight, you pay to see the knockout, go in there and get knocked out. And then, out of all that action on UFC 266, this still the main draw was the third fight of the night, Nick Diaz versus Rob Wall. He goes along with Diaz's turn 6 years later. Now, like even Joe Rogan, Diaz has and could have looked better. Took the fight on 6 weeks' notice. Could have been after all that ring rust. We were talking last week. After 6 years, he had that ring rust. He defeated Brawler, I think, 15 years ago or some crazy. These guys have been around for a while. Lawler came in with his amazing game. They stood in there three rounds and just, banged it out the whole time. Just a total scrub stuff. Diaz, unorthodox style, coming around the, flipping, weaving, unorthodox punching. Just didn't land as many good shots as Lawler. And Lawler was just, chin down, slugging it out. So, phenomenal fight. The whole card was well worth it.
Yeah. What do you think, to get moved from UFC 266, what about Bellator 266? We had Davis versus Romero. What did you think of that one?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see that when I was to this new night game, just really playing on a whole schedule.
All right, here we go. We were talking offline, Mr. Parks. Oscar De La Hoya has called out Floyd Mayweather for a purse of $100 million. What's your thoughts?
He called out Mayweather.
Other than Bob getting in there for that much money, we could be his cornerman and help keep.
Oh, my God. I'll be first in line for that one.
I'll be a ringer on that card.
Yeah. Water boy, where are you? So, $1 million?
Yeah. No, $100 million.
To fight Mayweather. $100 million. To fight Mayweather versus De La Hoya.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the question is it going to be a real thing, or is it going to be another one of these Jake Paul type things? Like an expedition type thing, or if they're really going to go at it. And if they're really going to go at it, the next question would be, for me, did Mayweather really fight that fight with Jake Paul, or was that a money thing? Because that would be whether I would base on his chances against De La Hoya and vice versa. There would be a lot of questions on that one for me. If it was just the two of them based on what I've seen and everything's been reality, I'm not a De La Hoya fan, but I think I would probably lean in his corner.
And, Bob, you were talking earlier about Jessica Andrade and Cynthia Caballero. Where's this leave Cynthia? Where's this leave Jessica Andrade? Where does she go from here?
Well, okay. Well, I'm going to back up real quick. So, and as far as Tony's concerned, I'm surprised you asked that question, whether that was a real thing between Mayweather and Paul. That is definitely a fake. There's no that Jake Paul had no chance against Mayweather. But then, and again, I'm going to side with you on that and take De La Hoya over Mayweather. Not so much that I like De La Hoya, just I want to see Mayweather lose. And anybody's going to do anything for $100 million. Like, come on, that's island money. You're like, buy an island. I'm not going to win $100 million. But then jumping forward to Andrade, we just talked about her a couple weeks ago, where she made some extra cash on OnlyFans by posting new. She's doing well. She's at the top of her division. Only behind Shevchenko, really. There's no whole lot to do. I mean, she was jumping around to different divisions. So again, that could be the crossover. These girls, once they get to the top of that division, they're looking for those money fights. What I'd really like to see, any one of these girls, probably Amanda Nunes, just to make sure it's done, but beat up Jake Paul. I think they could do it.
There was something came out on one of the rags today. I think the Ring magazine, where she actually said that she would fight him.
Heck yeah, these girls are vicious, and I've trained with a lot of tough women, and I'm all behind empowering women, and I had an undefeated female fight team. They were all amateurs, but all my girls were badasses. And again, they're in there training against these guys. Nunes is in at her gym, surrounded by some of the top athletes and stuff, and she's getting thrown down by these guys. So these women are tough, and Shevchenko, you see the strength on these people. So yeah, there's a lot of not saying me, I'm a retired heavyweight. I know, you know, again, but these women are out, they could beat up half the men out there. You know what I mean? A lot of dudes don't give them any credit. And like we had it all the time, you know, jocks from high school, football or, you know, college come in or they're, you know, guys that lift weights are in good shape and the women are just, you know, sweeping them and rolling them and arm barring them real fast or choking them out. They're like, what? They're like, they're so, you know, they have excuses. No, these women are that tough. So, undue respect for all these tough girls that push themselves through this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Kenny, there was a fight that was supposed to go off tonight, Eubank versus Marathon, but they called it off because of testing. Do you have any idea on why?
Testing?
Yeah.
What, bad beef again?
They said they failed the medical test.
It must be a COVID thing, or no, maybe, I don't know, maybe they do have stipulations. Bob would probably be able to answer that better.
I just pulled it up here. It says, the fight is off. My opponent failed the medical exam. I'm out boxed later in the month. Apologies to everyone who bought tickets. Nobody would be more disappointed than me. Also, I guess what's the name, must have a foreign substance. Must put test positive.
Well, how often do they do actual testing up before a fight, medical tests?
Three times.
And do they usually do, I mean, is that common standard? Oh, two
mm-hmm.
days before? And he made some kind of heart murmur or something that came up? Or
it could be, what's the name, illegal substance.
Oh, what's the name of that? What? Oh, yeah. The bad chicken, the bad beef.
Yeah, my wife was even a ringside doctor. She did that. You know, I mean, you could fail a pre-fight exam just for having a high blood pressure. You know, if you're not, now, you know what I mean, or if you've got, like, very, very common way to fail the pre-fight exam is have any kind of open wound on your face. You like I was cutting weight once, you know, trying to get down, you know, and again, you know, people got to realize fighters would be cutting, you know, and in a heavyweight, I'm cutting 15, 20 pounds in a week or whatever. But I'm so lightheaded getting into the hot tub, I slip and fall and kind of whack the bar in my head and had a small cut and almost had the fight canceled. You know, so you can fight, you know, there's several things. People don't understand, you got to go through this, you know, 6, 8, 10 week fight training camp and still come out at the end healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, Bobby went back and found it. It's Clarissa Shields is challenging Jake Paul for a fight.
Oh, okay. Heck yeah. Any of these girls, man, I'd like to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I just got up to my computer. I got the fights on right now. They're early tonight, so that's good.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, let's go to the next one here. All right, Tony, the WBC says it's going to strip Ryan Garcia and Joe Diaz of their titles unless they fight Haney. What's your thoughts on that one?
I think the rules are the rules. It's time for Haney to get his chance at one of them. So, tell you what, it's going to be some good fighting.
Mm-hmm. They everybody seems to want to skip a fight lately. And I guess that's why they're coming out saying, they're going to strip him from now on.
Well, I think if I remember reading correctly, I think it was Garcia that was trying to avoid fighting someone. I don't know if it was Haney or there was someone else I thought that was in the picture that he was trying to throw off to the side. I think it was going to be someone a little bit tougher for him to fight. But, I mean, he's a good fighter. Both of them are, him and JoJo and Haney. May the best man win.
Yeah. What do you think of the Crawford-Porter fight coming up?
You know, I love both those guys. And I really honestly was not a Porter fan up until maybe a year ago when I really paid attention to him. Well, probably more so when he got on TV and listened to him. And just, there's just a lot for me to take in when I watch these guys, not just the fighting. And I really have a lot of respect for him. But, you know, Bud Crawford, too, is just he's a badass. And that's going to be one hell of a fight. I don't know which way I would it's hard. That's a flip of the coin in my book. But I'm going to lean to Sean Porter on that one. I think after watching him this past year, the boy's on fire. I just think he's really got it. And I think he'll be able to pull it off. It may not be a knockout.
This is something that he's wanted for a long time. I had a chance to see Porter and Keith Thurman working out together up here in St. Pete. And they both have fast hands. They're very fast. They're both powerful for their weight class. And I think I would go on the Porter side.
Yeah, they're both fantastic, and again, it could go either way. I don't think it would be a knockout. I think it would be just a big 10-round slugfest, but I think Porter would pull it off.
Bob, what do you think of Hannah Rankin versus Marie Lindbergh at 154.
Say that again. Sorry.
I'll give you a different one. This is easier. Let me
jump back to Jessica Andrade. You know, I found that. I was looking her up when we were talking. So, she's going to jump back to 115 pounds and go against the winner, you know, after her loss against Shevchenko. So she's going to go back to 115. She wants the winner of Rose Namajunas versus Zhang Li. Now, again, that'll be a phenomenal fight, phenomenal matchup. Namajunas keeps jumping around weight classes because she wants to be the champion, and that's what she's saying. She's good at 115, 125, 135, but she's going to try to go back down to 115 and try to manhandle, Rose. But and then she also says that, you know, because the rematch between those two, Rose probably won't do as well as the first time, but it will probably end up being victorious. So she's looking to try to do that matchup. I would throw her out, some more mad respect because, again, she's trying to be champion. And the fact that, it's tough enough for what, I was talking earlier about as a heavyweight, dropping 15, 20 pounds and stuff. But as a lightweight, that's pretty difficult, So she's genetically dispositioned to carry more fat. So, though I'm the one that actually does, so.
I'm going to work.
Yeah, I got struck off in the UFC. And I just hope to got another guy in the eye and, while the ref was giving him his timeout to rest, the other guy was on the other side of the ring, taunting and trying to be tough. And I thought that was very disrespectful and shit. So, sorry.
Let me ask you, I'm going to give you another one. UFC Vegas 38 tonight. Let's see. What do you think of Santos versus Walker?
Tonight. So, Thiago Santos versus Johnny Walker. I just want to give out a shout to Johnny Walker. I would love to grow up with that man. Here comes Johnny Walker. I was out with Johnny Walker. that right there was fantastic. But Thiago Santos, man, that should be a really good fight. And he's a tough dude. So, not knowing enough about Johnny Walker and other than his cool name, I'm going to give it to Thiago Santos just because as a light heavyweight, he's got some phenomenal jiu-jitsu and stand-up. So,
Is that Johnny Walker Red, Johnny Walker Black?
It's Johnny Walker White. No slouch, 205-pound, 6'6.5". 18-5 record. So this guy is coming in tough, 82-inch reach. So he's got the reach over Thiago Santos, but I think Santos might have the ground game. I just don't know enough about Johnny Walker.
We're going to find out tonight.
Yep. Middleweight fight, the co-main for that one tonight is Kevin Holland versus Kyle Dukakis. Now, that one will be good. Holland's been around for a while, but Dukakis is doing well on his up-and-coming. So, again, and then going down even further to the welterweight, which is one fight away, Alex Oliveira versus Nico Price. Now, Nico Price, I'm going to go with Nico on that one, although Oliveira is looking really good. So the next three will be interested. I haven't been impressed. I've only caught the last couple, and I'm really not impressed with this guy. Who is he? Christoph Jocto or Jocato? He ended up winning after the eye poke. I don't like this kid already. And he's dancing the ring. He's doing break dancing. I really don't like him because I can't do that. You ever notice how we don't like people for things because they can do things that we can't? It's more jealousy. There's no real hate. We're just all jealous and insecure. It's ridiculous.
Well, I've got MC Hammer on speed dial. I'll try to help you out with that one.
Yeah, you don't see boxers spinning around, do you, too often, spinning around and doing the helicopter break dancing after a win? More of a UFC
Not
thing.
Often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, however, in the UFC, no one yet has wore a costume to the ring heavy enough to ruin their fight. So, there is that.
That's what he's wearing tonight?
No, I was making a comment. Was it Wilder? Somebody wore an outfit. They said it was too heavy. So that you know, impeded the fact that he couldn't fight well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that was that last Wilder fight with that, whatever that was he wore out there.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I believe that's next weekend. Three, I believe.
Yeah, coming up, the third one. So that should be interesting.
Have you been keeping up on him with Instagram or watching anything on him at all? Because I tell you what, I mean, he looks fantastic.
Yeah, he's always looked good. Looks doesn't matter. I mean, look at in UFC version would be like Yoel Romero and all these guys that are just they look like Greek gods, but still they're not holding the championships anymore. But yeah, I mean Wilder, has always been chiseled and looked really good. That doesn't mean he's going to beat him.
Yeah, he's been doing some different work and tactics, and I think he's looking pretty sharp.
I hope so.
Hey guys, we're joined by our first guest tonight, a guy who's I watched for years when I lived in Philly. A guy who's been very good to our team. Sat and talked with the guys at the Leocora Center back at the last Stevie Cunningham fight. Bernard Hopkins. Bernard, how are you tonight?
Hey, good. Speaking of Steve, I just had a word with Steve about 3 days ago because he's going to be embarrassed because he left his phone at the airport the last time he was in Texas, and he just got back like 2 months ago. So if you hear this, he's going to be calling me up. So, yeah, Steve is going good, though, but I had to be on the phone with y'all guys.
Great.
He's listening. He's listening. He'll be making that call, sir.
Yeah. Stevie's one of our favorite flyers. We usually try to talk to him at least once a month or so. It sounds like his nephew's fighting tonight.
Correct.
Yeah. Good. You had a 55-8-2 record, and one of the persons that couldn't be with us tonight said that you still can't beat him. Yeah, does that make, does his words ring a bell?
Said that I still can't beat him.
Yeah.
Well, I've been hearing bells for 30 years.
I'll give you a hint. His first name is Lance.
His first name is Lance?
Yeah. Lee? Dennis. Lance Panarella.
What's his last name?
Panarella.
Nah.
Dr. Panarella.
Nah, that definitely don't ring a bell. And I heard some bells ring.
That must have been
early on. That must have been like early exhibition or early opponent. And I even know my first opponent that I lost a decision to named Clinton Mitchell. So if he ain't the first that I remember, and that was in 1988 up to now, then he might be – I hope he ain't bet nobody over there. He might have got shot. He might have got
yes,
no, but seriously, I can't recall that.
Yeah, no, you never did fight. He was just kidding you. It's Lance Panarella, the dentist.
Oh, yeah. Well, he might not be 100% kidding because you do got those video games. He might have played me on EA Sports. I'm telling y'all. He got those video games. Yes, I know he's a grown man, but he got a state of the art system probably in his basement.
Yeah.
He played me on TV. Yeah. He played me on a video game.
He just forgot it wasn't real, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, for many years, Chris, his dad, was our partner here on the show. Chris and I grew up together back in Chester, and he was not only a tremendous boxer, he was a tremendous dentist, and just a tremendous person. And we can't say enough about him. And I know we were trying to get you on when we were doing the tribute to Chris, but you were on your way to Japan because you have so many different business angles you have.
And you know, too, is a unique thing. I mean, think about it. You box, you get your teeth knocked out, and fix at the same time. Yeah.
That's crazy.
He do the dentures, right?
Yes.
He fix you up after he beats you, knock your teeth out. that's a good combination. I mean, come on, guys. I'm not that corny. I ain't that much of a corny jokester. But listen, just think about what you said. When you add dentistry to anything to deal with boxing, I mean, who wouldn't fight you because they know they're going to get fixed up, especially if it's better than what they looked like before.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm in the wrong line of work.
Yeah. A couple of my opponents
could have used him.
Yeah.
And listen, I know y'all history, guys. I know y'all history. All right, now listen to this. I returned back from New York yesterday, and I was in New York for a special reason. And also a historic, to me, is always going to be sad. 9/11. My fight was scheduled 2001, September 15th. We know what happened. I was in New York with my whole team, the whole camp, the Don King camp, my opponent camp, which is Felix Trinidad. And I say opponent now because it's long past 20 years. But I was the opponent with the belts and been champion at the middleweight division for so long. He was moving up. He was the bigger name. Yes, I agree. And he was the bigger puncher. 35-0 with 25, maybe 24 knockouts. And 8-9 years younger. Hold up, 8-9 years younger. I'm 35, he in his late 20s. So I was down there filming not only the history of my 20-year anniversary on the same historic tragedy that happened in New York in 01, and we were the first major event that was put on in New York, of all places, New York, and at Madison Square Garden. And then, of course, you know, the Yankees that year, that season. So the Yankees then was really the second. But I told y'all that because we talk about boxing, we talk about history. And, yes, I'm part of that, and I'm part of that moment, that 20-year anniversary. And my podcast, not my podcast, excuse me, my documentary, has been put together, started in 2019, in the middle of 2019, and I ain't got to tell you the following year what happened, but we've been back on the move for the last, I'd say, 4 months, picking up the pieces from where we stopped. I'm looking to have it, I'm looking to first be back on the show and speak about it even more once this has completed or near completed. But we should be completed by, I'll say, this time next year, because I want to do it right. I want it to be thorough, and there's over 15 chapters, 15 chapters, 15 episodes, 15 moments where you can see that my life was here, there, and I turned it around and never looked back again. And like I told the warden, y'all heard me say this, so y'all heard some radio interview or something that was said. When the warden said, the warden, you'll be back in 6 months. Every time I face adversity, and it don't necessarily have to be boxing. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about business relationship, whatever, from soup to nuts. I always hear the warden, and I'm not saying hearing in my head, hearing in my ear. I'm talking about it. I use it for motivation. I use it for never give up. If I ever had a chance to throw the towel in, there was moments in my life early on where that could have been and that would have been done. No question. Before I became Bernard Hopkins the boxer, before I became Bernard Hopkins the legend, before I became Bernard Hopkins the successful entrepreneur or middleweight legend of Philadelphia, all the middleweights we have here, Benny Briscoe, Georgie Benton, Cyclone Hart, I mean, Willie the Worm, Boogaloo Watts. I mean, I come behind a tradition, a legacy of Philadelphia back as far as the 40s. And I'm glad to be in the house of Hall of Famers.
Right.
I mean, got a little emotional, but I ain't got no tears yet.
Yeah, sure. one nice thing that I've read in the last week and a half, 2 weeks. First, I read an article on you by my good friend Bernard Fernandez, and you're in his new book. And he speaks the type of person you are and the fights that you've gone through. And then last week I was talking to Russell Peltz because his belt book came out. We had him on so that he could announce that the book was coming out. And you're in that book also and in a very good light. So to me, that means that the people.
Hey, can I tell you about Russell? Hey, Bernard, you just an ordinary fighter. Kid, I seen fighters come all the time. You just, and me and Russell talks about it. You gotta ask him this. You can't make this up. Russell Peltz, me and Russell talk more than you think. And Russell Peltz said to me, quote, that this is why I'm glad y'all tape y'all show, because you can always go back. Russell Peltz said to me, quote, he said, Bernard, I got many right, but damn, it hurts that I got one wrong. Russell Peltz was the first promoter when I think I was 0-1, then I became 1-1. But Russell Peltz passed up on me when the management team called a rise in boxing. You've probably seen it in his book. Of course you've seen the Butch Lewis stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Russell Peltz passed up on me. And he said to that management group, it's called Arisen Boxing, like Arisen with the A,
mm-hmm.
Arisen Boxing. They had a company, four
mm-hmm.
guys. And Russell told those guys, quote, "You're just an ordinary fighter." And, but no, listen what I'm saying. When I said that to you, and me and Russell are fine today. We good. We was good then, but I always seen him and I wanted to prove him. And every fighter
mm-hmm.
that I fought that Russell promoted is mad at him today.
Mm-hmm.
Every fighter that I fought that was Russell Peltz, knowing
mm-hmm.
that story that I just told you, they don't like Russell Peltz now because they took a beating in that ring.
Mm-hmm.
But Russell had a chance to be my first promoter. Ask me, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But he helped me out a lot. He gave me some great advice. Like I said, we're friends
mm-hmm.
today. And, you know, we see each
mm-hmm.
other in Florida because he goes to Florida all the time just as well as I do.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, let me know when you're back down in Florida because that's where I'm out of and Tony is. And we'll take you out for dinner.
Where you at in Florida?
I'm over in just south of Tampa in a place called Parrish.
Oh, you further up.
Yeah.
I stayed at West Palm Beach.
Right. I know where, that's where Russell stays.
Yep, West Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Tony, I know you had you've been waiting for weeks to ask these questions. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. The Alien is one of my favorites, man. I thank you for coming on tonight. Wanted to ask you, in your career, have you fought where you've been hit at some point where you said, this is the guy with the hands of steel that not necessarily beat you or anything else, but got your attention right away where you knew that this guy could really do some damage and woke you up, got your attention? That's my first question for you.
Okay, I can tell you that Roy Jones Jr. In 1983, he had an awesome hook. That Roy Jones Jr. And I said it, and I can say it fluently, like I said it to many people. That Roy Jones in 1993, when we was both number one, number two contenders, fighting for the vacant IBF title at the RFK Stadium under the Riddick Bowe and Jesse Ferguson heavyweight championship. And when Roy Jones hit me with that sweeping left hook that he, like I said, he leaps. He don't set up. He's not unorthodox with it. He's way fast that back then. And I knew I couldn't get a hit like that again. And it made me a little gun shy, maybe a little bit of second guessing myself. Through the whole fight. But that lesson, my record reflects it, took 10
mm-hmm.
years for me to lose a decision after dominating for 10 years. And eventually I did get the middleweight championship that we fought for and held it for 20 defenses. But that was the IBF title, and then it got down to Spruit in 01. But I know I asked your
mm-hmm.
question longer than what you expect, but Roy Jones Jr. in 1993, that Roy Jones Jr., that silver medalist, was no joke. And he got my attention. I knew I couldn't get hit with punches like that often.
Mm-hmm.
So when you fought Sergey, I know there was a little bit of a slip there, you know, with that whole thing that happened at the end. But would you say that he hits comparable to Roy Jones or not as bad?
Reputation. But let me tell you with Sergey, the crusher. Let me tell you what Sergey punches is like compared to Roy's. I mean, yeah, Roy's. Sergey punch, you see it, you feel it. It's like a hammer. It's like a hammer. It's like a thump. I never been hit by George Foreman, but I know if any of those heavyweights that fought Big George would tell you, Damn, where the hell that come from? It's more of a bong. It's more of a bong, but it's powerful. But Roy is quick and sneaky, but powerful. It's like compared to boom. You understand? Does that make sense? Like punches hard, but he's a more methodical, very methodical, but you know if you get hit, you're in trouble. But Roy, you got speed and power. Sergey is more mechanical, but can still hurt you.
You know, we had talked. Go ahead, Tony.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, that's all right. Go ahead. I didn't hear the question.
Just one more thing. You got any predictions for Fury Wilder 3? Do you think Deontay's going to be able to pull it off this time and put the gypsy on the floor?
I like Wilder because of the do or die and the adjustments, and also the decorated used to be one of the top amateurs and did pretty good in pros as his trainer now, knowing that he had a lot of Celestia old head trainers training him, and now he's become in Wilder's corner. But Wilder got to fight. The trainer can't fight for him physically. You can give him the message, and you got to be able to carry out the message. But let me tell you, I picked the Gypsy Man. I picked him the first fight. The second fight, I ain't picked nobody because I said this fight is kind of shaky because both guys, to me, looked like they was on vacation. And I knew, when I mean vacation, talking about far as, Wilder's always got a rock-hard body, got a, you know, a physique of a fighter, an athlete. And we know I'm going to say the Gypsy all the time because I think that fits his whole character and
fits him well
in the ring just as well, because the Gypsy can come up and gyp the whole and trump the whole card. So my thing is with him is I believe he's not going to get any better from what he done to win and be successful with Wilder. So what is the change that he's going to do? Fury, right? What Tyson Fury going to do different than he didn't do when he won the fight that he accomplished? So my thing is, Wilder has everything to lose. That's a dangerous man. If he keeps his emotions, y'all got to listen to this because we're going to do this again once this thing comes to fruition. I'll be the first one to say I was dead wrong. Wilder has so much to lose, talked so much trash leading up to next, you know, couple of weeks or two. He must deliver. His career, and I've said this before, Wilder's career is in his hands or Tyson Fury's hands. Which one do he want? Period. The room got quiet over at ESPN 2 days ago, and I said, listen, I'm dead serious. Y'all want my prediction? This ESPN. I said, listen, y'all want my prediction? I'm going to give you my prediction. This fight is so important for Wilder that he's saying a lot of things. If you go in there emotional, he's going to get the same thing done to him. That's how Tyson Fury manipulated him once he got off that canvas and showed that big right hand didn't work in this particular fight with me. That's a mental letdown already. Hold on, wait a minute. 99% of everything, especially sports, is mental. How you think Brady is continuing to do what he got to do? Because he's smart and he's finesse and he keeps his body right in tone just enough, but he's still 40-plus. Now comes skills, craftiness, slickness, know the game. All that comes into effect. That's in front of the game more than you being in shape or not. And so I look at the same thing with this particular match coming up. it is a little tricky if you're looking at it from the emotional point. Wilder's talking, he's going to kill a man, he's going to do this. That's the emotion. If Wilder goes in there emotion to the point where overrides all that he's been working differently to win this fight differently than he lost it, he must come in there emotionless. I say it again. He must come in that ring emotionless, and then he must stick to the plan. Fury's going to stick his tongue at him. He's going to do all the thing that Gypsy can do because that's how Gypsy's been winning, and his talent fits his shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a guy named Tyson Fury that doesn't have one six-pack on his stomach, who learned and comfortable in his own skin but can fight his ass off. That's the problem that the heavyweights of this time, of 2021, they have a problem with a guy that's 6'8", 6'7", something like that, can fight. Very unorthodox. Very unorthodox. Does everything wrong. Does everything wrong. He just doesn't look like the typical or the casual or even what people expect, the jab, the right hand, the left hook, the basics, and then the talent. So that would make him dangerous to any heavyweight for, I'll say, a few years. And that goes for Joshua, who we've seen what happened last week. We've seen what happened last week. You can't go in there, man, underestimate nobody. And underestimating somebody is not just that. Being too emotional, where you're dealing with a guy like Tyson Fury, who's going to do everything he can to get under your skin. He's going to clown you. He's going to talk to the crowd. He's going to grab you. Jump into a clinch. He might – listen, here's a man that beat Wilder and told the whole world, I'm going to lick his blood. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I want to lick his blood. Do y'all remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Remember
he saw it again today, watching it.
That's what I'm trying to tell y'all. Man, listen. When a man has you beaten down, and he's holding, y'all in a clinch, and you got blood, and you're a beaten man, you're a beaten soul. Look at the fight. Look at it again. And he looks at Wilder, and he's holding him and hugging him and talking about it. And stuck his tongue out like he was licking his blood. That went viral. That went across the world. He humiliated him.
Bernard, what's your thoughts on the Canelo Alvarez plant fight?
Canelo Alvarez. If Canelo Alvarez, just say you Canelo Alvarez, and you say Bernard, you coming to my fight. This is place. Just say you Canelo. Just say Bernardo, you coming to my fight. That's all. I need you to say that.
Bernard, are you coming to my
this
fight?
This how I feel about this fight coming up that you asked me. I'm asking you to ask me, like you're Canelo, Bernard, are you coming to my fight?
Yeah. Bernard, are you coming to my fight?
Yeah, should I leave my car on or should I turn it off? See, I don't want to violate my car. Listen, y'all. Y'all been to stadium, especially in Philly. Listen, I don't want to get, go park my car in valet and get a ticket, get a hot dog, go down there for the fight, and the fight's over with. So my thing is, should I leave my car running or should I cut it off? What round are you taking them out of?
Can't even get a damn hot dog in a fight. That's pretty sad.
Yeah. I don't want to waste time, y'all. Canelo, first of all, good to hear from you, Canelo. Should I keep my car in? Or should I valet park it? That's how I feel about this fight, sir. That's how I feel about that fight. is what Canelo wants to do. It's what Canelo wants to do. I think I'm going to need my car running. He's
Darren,
in the
room to ask if Plant has a chance at this point, so.
Hey, man.
Oh, good.
Leave your car running, man. I'm telling you. don't spend
shit,
that $50
funny.
In the casino and leave your car in Valley Park, and then you got to tip the damn guy. That's $70.
Right.
Damn. When do you get inside, he's knocked out, so it'll be over.
As soon as you get inside, as soon as you walk it down with your winger, you got your winger, your hot dog in your head, your popcorn is spilling on people while you go down the bleachers because you ain't got front row. And now you're sitting there mad, you got busted on your shirt, you're looking like a fly, and you're just mad because the fight's over. They already made dressing room when you sat down.
Oh, shit.
Well, Bernard, I've been waiting for this interview for a long time, and I really, really enjoy it. I thank you for sitting with Zito and Ty up at the Aquarius Center, because they're two of my best guys out there. We'd love to have you back on anytime
you
feel it. And we appreciate your time.
I was just getting warmed up.
Okay,
we get another hour.
Time, you did a half hour. This time we'll get you 45 minutes. It's a half hour.
But Dad, listen, y'all said hi, and I did all the talking. Y'all gotta give me at least 2 hours, man. It'll take me at least an hour to get my whistle wet.
Okay. We'll just extend it next time. Next time we'll do a 2-hour program.
Yeah, man, y'all must be tired. Y'all ain't going to bed. Y'all past 50 years old. Y'all think I'm trying to be slick with me? It's only 8:30. I bet you had your night nights on about 8:45.
Hey, we talk about that, but on our Wednesday show, I interviewed Tim McCarver. Do you remember Tim was the catcher in Philly?
We had to
do the interview at 4:00 in the afternoon because he goes to bed at 7:00.
Damn, I go at 8:00. He got me beat. When I say go to bed, the lights ain't out, but my lights are getting dim. I'm sitting here talking. I got my Speedos on right now. I'm glad we're talking because I look kind of weird on a FaceTime, but at least we're having this conversation. I'm normally in the bed by 8:30. East Coast or West Coast. Can you imagine I'm in West Coast with a Golden Boys office in L.A.? I know y'all know that. Can you imagine L.A. time? I'm in a bed. It's literally like it's 12 o'clock outside. But that is the longevity, fellas. That is the longevity.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
The longevity of taking care of my temple. What is my temple? If I'm going to take care of my car, if I'm going to take care of something that got four wheels on it that I can replace, why would I not take care of me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my longevity came. One of my longevities of history, and why I'm here, not just because of my talent. I'm definitely no fool. My lifestyle had a lot to do with it. My lifestyle, y'all ain't just start following me. I never had to make weight for a fight. I go to camp to get my mind right. People, 90% of fighters go to camp to get in shape, to lose weight. I go to camp for a peace of mind, to get away from the fourth, third cousins I never knew. Everybody wants tickets. I went away for mindset, the mind power, not the actually physically. Like, I didn't go there to lose 40 pounds because I'm fighting two weight classes over my weight class.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fellas, it's good talking to y'all, man.
All right, thanks a lot. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, take care, buddy.
All right, Bob, you want to lead us out?
Guys, thank you. Always a pleasure. Thank you for Bernard coming on. Tony, great as always, Frank. God bless to our listeners, and y'all have a great week.
You too.
Thank you,
Bob. Take care, y'all.
You too.
ladies and gentlemen. These programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of Peace and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please take the time to let them know you know they're there. It's very important to things right now that you let them know that they have your support. These programs are dedicated to those who lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Kendler, Lieutenant Mike Kazerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Anolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Josh Moyers, Nassau County Sheriff's Department, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Trooper Joe Bullock, Florida Highway Patrol, Trooper Chelsea Richards from Florida Highway Patrol, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Florida Department of Law Enforcement, Captain Matt Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Artith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Sergeant James O'Connor, Philadelphia Police Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. And until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the palm of his hands. Good night. God bless and have a great week.
Shem alek ma yelama, shem ahezah yelama, son ashen evorat fed, hakuig again ma yelama. Shem alek ma yelama, shem
threats in 1999. All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul. God, I probably would love you.